And I just realized I've done what I haven't done in a while, and that's leave my bulletin in the seat. Can someone just remind me of the closing hymn so we can, or? Oh, thank you. Okay, well, this evening we are continuing in our series through Proverbs, the end of Proverbs 24, the sayings, more sayings of the wise. And this evening we're going to be looking particularly at verses 30 through 34. So, if you'd like to follow along with me, I'm going to be reading from verses 30 through 34. Hear now God's holy word. I passed by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense, and behold, it was all overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. Then I saw and considered it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. This is God's word. Let's ask for his blessing on it. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for your word in which your wisdom is revealed. And as your word says, the unfolding of your words brings light. And so we ask that by your Holy Spirit, you would enlighten us with the wisdom and the glory of your word, that we might be stirred up to love for you and to service in your name. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, our passage this morning is actually is different from some of the other Proverbs. It tells a little tale. And so this evening we're going to look at the vineyard's tale. Now, as we read this, we notice that Solomon apparently was walking by a vineyard one day, and as he looks at this vineyard, he considers it. He considers it, and he tells us here that from this he receives instruction. Solomon is alert because there are lessons to be learned as we look in God's world, and Solomon here sees this particular lesson. He's passing by. It's basically like a farm. And he sees the house next to the farm that it's not abandoned. He can tell from maybe the glow of the TV inside. And but he notices that this house and its surrounding field is in a great state of disrepair, and that there's no fruit growing in the farm, but only weeds and thistles. And he notices the fence is broken and various sections are blown over. And there's the roof on the house is sagging. And there's moss growing all over it. And he looks at this scene and he considers it. He says he receives some instruction. Well, what is the wisdom that Solomon gleans from this, and that the word of God gives to his people tonight? In a word, it's a proverb about work. And in a sentence, the wisdom is overindulgence in sleep when you have a task can lead to disastrous results. And what he sees here is are the results, but in it he sees the tail. So we're going to consider this proverb by looking particularly at three elements in the story. First, we'll look at the sluggard. Then we're going to look at the vineyard. And thirdly, we're going to look at the robber in this tale. So first, we see the first character in this tale is the sluggard. Now, a sluggard, that's not a word that we often use today. Today we use probably the word slacker. But the sluggard is the one who has no inclination to work. He remains in inertia. And so here we see Solomon says he observes the field of the sluggard. And he says this man is lacking in sense or lacking in wisdom. Now, the sluggard has a task because by him is a field. It's a vineyard in particular that's meant to produce fruit. And right away, as we see this picture of the sluggard, we see a real contrast with the Lord himself, with our God. It sort of stands in relief against what we see of the Lord in his word. Consider how the Lord creates the world. He begins his creation by working, and he spends 6 days in that labor, designing galaxies and forming dolphins and giraffes and creating man from the dust. And then on the seventh day, God rests. But here in this passage, we see the sluggard has that exactly reversed. He says, I'm going to begin, I'm going to sleep, and later I'll work. Now, I want you to notice that in this, the sluggard, or the slacker, he doesn't say, you know what, I am not going to work. I don't want to work at all. I'm just never going to work. I'm going to sit here and do nothing. He has intentions. But what he says is, first, just a little sleep, just a little slumber, and a little folding of the hands to rest. And then I'll work. But to take the words of John D. Rockefeller out of context, the question is, well, how much sleep until you work? And the answer is always, well, just a little bit more. But this is an important lesson because it reminds us that the road to destruction is often paved, as they say, with good intentions. Right? It's his intention to eventually work, but he begins by giving in to this slumber. But slowly, the little bit of slumber turns into a lot of slumber. And pretty soon, the slumber, the sleep, overpowers him, and he's unable ever to begin that work. And then we see in this proverb the disastrous results, right? A field that's overgrown and without fruit, that sleep kind of grows in its power like a magic spell, right? Weaving itself. And the problem here, we've alluded to, is not that he desires sleep. Sleep itself can be a good thing. Sleep is designed by God as a means of rest. But notice that the problem is in his priority. Sleep is his first priority. And that's because he wants to take the path of least resistance. But look at how Jesus, right, he comes and he says, I'm going to work. He's working, as we read just a few minutes ago, how he labors, going from village to village, healing the sick and preaching the kingdom. And you remember when he's in at the well in Samaria, in Sychar, and he's speaking with the woman as his disciples have gone into town to get some food, and they come back and they say, Jesus, sit down and take a break and eat. And you must be starving. And Jesus says, My food is to do the will of my Father, and I will work until it is fully accomplished, until it's finished. And Jesus, he works before he enters his rest, and then he enters his rest. So that's the sluggard. But secondly, second element in the story is the vineyard. Now, why a vineyard? Well, the vineyard is this man's field of work. And it shows us, it reminds us that he has a task. And we were created with a task. Think about Genesis. God creates Adam, and he sets them in the garden. And he says, okay, now, Adam, you have a task. And the task is in a large vineyard, so to speak. Tend it, grow it. That's what he tells Adam and Eve. Be fruitful. Take the dominion over the earth and subdue it. And when you build houses and you repair roofs, when you sweep your kitchen and you clean your room, you go grocery shopping, you're taking dominion. But when you don't do the work that the Lord has set before you, what happens? And that's what the vineyard speaks to. And here we see the vineyard, it says, is all overgrown with thorns. The ground is covered with nettles. So instead of luscious grapes and vines filled with fruit, there are fruitless thorns rising from the vineyard, and the ground is covered in weeds. And so there's nothing to show, because he has abandoned his task. You know, and this is a reminder to you as you have various tasks and things that have been entrusted to you. The vineyard is entrusted to this man, as the garden was entrusted to Adam. And by neglecting the task, it ends in ruin. So when you ignore the oil light on your car, eventually that engine is going to seize and the car will be useless. The temptation of the flesh is to sleep and sloth. In our nature, in the sinful nature, we gravitate towards the path of least resistance. But this proverb is a call to diligence, to the tasks that have been entrusted to you. So what are the tasks that have been entrusted to you? Maybe it's learning in school. It's learning algebra or your times tables. Maybe it's taking care of a home. And a family, and maintaining order and raising children. Maybe it's working on cars in an auto shop. You have a task that the Lord has given to you. And so this cautionary tale is a reminder to diligence. Well, thirdly, I want to look at the robber. So we're introduced here to the robber. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. Now, why is poverty here described as a robber? That's a very vivid picture, isn't it? This armed man stealing in and taking captive the homeowner and stealing all that he has, leaving him with nothing. Well, first, it shows us, first, the robber is an adversary. And it reminds us that if you are not actively fighting or opposing poverty and lack through diligence that it will come upon you. But secondly, it speaks to the fact that poverty comes in unaware. Notice that the man begins by saying, just a little bit of sleep, and then I'm going to work, right? His intention is to work. But as he gives into that sleep, he begins to fall into this slumber. And all of a sudden, that poverty and lack overtakes him to the point where he is unable to resist. In the verse 34, right, it says, poverty will come upon you like an armed man. Now, the Hebrew literally says, like a man with a shield. It's interesting. Why a shield? And the picture there is that now that he's been taken unawares, right, he's been brought into the slumber, he is unable to mount a counterattack against this poverty. So the application here is that those assigned to a task are to keep alert against that adversary of poverty and want. To stave off the sleep and to keep alert, to be active in working. Now, this is sort of the cautionary tale. It presents to us the picture of the slacker, the one who gives in to that sleep and falls into the slumber, and who is overcome by poverty and want. But contrast that with the Lord Jesus. That the Lord Jesus is the one who is diligent in his work. He comes to do the will of his Father, and he labors, as we saw, week after week, day in and day out, spending himself to the task to which he has been entrusted. And Jesus, right, says, my Father has been working, and I am working, and I've come to do his work. I've come to do his will, and I'm going to do it until it is finished. And think of Jesus there in his final week of his life, right? For those 6 days of what the church calls Holy Week, Jesus is laboring. He's preparing his disciples for his departure. And then he goes, and then he's in that garden, and he is awake while his disciples are drifting off to sleep. He is alert, and he's praying for the Father. He's praying for his disciples. He's praying for the task that's before him. And then he goes to the cross, and he completes his task. And then he rests in the tomb on the seventh day, waiting to be resurrected to begin enjoying the fruit of his labor. Sloth and sleep, right? That is the temptation of the flesh. And every one of us can identify with that. But the Lord Jesus, because the Lord Jesus labored to the point of the cross, because he labored, in order to deliver his people, to deliver sluggards and slackers and those who struggle with inaction and sleep. He died to deliver them. He shed his blood to provide forgiveness for those who have failed in their labors. And he rose to give his life and his power to those who would serve the Lord. Now, as we consider this proverb, there is a temporal dimension, but there's also a spiritual dimension to this proverb, as we had considered 2 weeks ago in Proverbs 20 and verse 27, there's both a temporal and a spiritual dimension to these proverbs. This proverb is about labor and work and tasks. But consider how God's people have been called to labor. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul writes, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." You have been called to labor in the fields of the Lord. We heard earlier in Matthew, Jesus describing the earth as his fields, and his disciples as his laborers to go out and to labor. And there is always there's a temptation to sleep in the midst of that task. Remember Jesus' words in Mark 13? He tells his disciples, as you wait for my return, stay awake. Keep alert. You've been given, entrusted with the house, but stay awake and keep alert. And you know, there is an adversary. It's not just physical poverty and want, but there's an adversary, the devil, who Jesus says loves to kill, to break in, to destroy, and to steal. And so Peter says, keep alert, because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. And that word, keep alert, is the word for awake. It's literally stay awake, keep wakeful, as that adversary prowls around. And how do you keep alert? What does it look like to keep alert as you labor in Christ's fields? Well, one of the primary ways that you stay alert is by prayer. And this is why Paul, in his letters, he speaks often about wakefulness and prayer in the same breath. Colossians 4, he says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, keeping wakeful in it." Keeping watchful. Then that's that same word again, keeping awake in it. Keeping alert. And that's what Jesus, right, as he's in the garden there, what is he doing? He's praying with watchfulness. And Paul, in his letters to the Ephesians, he says, "As we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, put on the whole armor of God." And how does he end that? Praying always, making supplication for the saints, and keeping watchful in it. That's, again, that's that word, keeping awake, wakeful and alert. So this is the admonition to you this evening. Think about the task that you've been called to, whether it's the temporal task of being a student or taking care of a home or providing for your family. Keep alert and keep diligent in your task. But keep alert and keep wakeful as you labor in the fields of the Lord and as you have been called to labor. But as we've considered tonight, keeping alert, keeping diligent, that can be a difficult task. And you know, in the flesh, that's really impossible. Without Jesus, we would all end up like the man in this proverb. But the Lord Jesus, he came and labored in order that in him we might labor. Paul says in Corinthians, in his first letter to the Corinthians, he became wisdom for us. Okay? Because in ourselves, in our flesh, we are senseless like the man in the proverb. But Jesus became wisdom for you. and for me. And in this proverb, we see that part of wisdom is a diligent application to work before your rest. And so Jesus labored, and he labored and finished the work. And he came to the cross, and the final hour said, "It is finished," so that in Jesus you might labor fruitfully. So this week, go and labor fruitfully in the power of the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Our Lord, we thank you that you have called us into your labor. And we thank you that in Jesus we are able to labor, and that our labor is not in vain. And so we ask that you would strengthen us, you strengthen us to keep alert in the task that you've set before us, that you would strengthen us to be diligent, that we might strive as we look forward to entering into that final rest with our Lord and Savior Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.